Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
We come to serve tonight, Divine Healing Night. This is Saturday night, 27. We're talking about divine healing tonight. I want to take this time out to talk to you about 5 or 10 minutes before I go into the show. I want to share some things with you tonight. God is still healing and delivering. I want you to get ready tonight and for your breakthrough that you want God to do something for you. Psalms 119, I want you to read that. And as you read that, I want to challenge you to prayer. I want to challenge you to have a safe holiday. You know, we under white magic anyway. So, but I want to decree your healing. St. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. A, B, C, and as we open up doors, things will work. There's a lot going on, but I want to say, God, the storm has passed. And that the storm has passed, it's time for you to get in line for God to bless you, to get in line for God to touch you. Every door closed will be open up for you. I'm praying much for you, Dr. Gibson, down in right there in Las Vegas. I'm praying for you tonight. Lorraine, I'm praying for you in Chicago. And Regina, I'm praying for you in Chicago. I'm praying also for you, Renee, in Chicago. Every letter, every telephone call is an expression of love. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. If you got a need, you can plant a seed. And I want to say to you, Pearl, William, I'm praying for you right there in Detroit. And I want to tell you, Mary, I'm praying for you. Mary Hawkins, I'm praying for you. I want to tell you tonight, God is a healer. And the day Brother Darrell Span was over, we had prayer. Other ladies came over, we had prayer. We've been having prayer all day, Ashe, our ancestors. And we're going to always honor our ancestors because we couldn't be what we are to be if it wasn't for our ancestors, Ashe, Ashe. So I'm going to always acknowledge our ancestors, and I want you to acknowledge the ancestors. Tonight is a night of divine healing. And I was telling some of the people had called. I was telling them God can open up a door. You know, right now we in the holiday and started Friday. We had shootings and things happening. But God is in control. I want you to know that. God is in control. And if God is in control, you stay focused on God to do something for you. If you're in Chicago, New York, California, in Birmingham, Alabama, in Atlanta, Georgia, wherever you might be, God is there. And I want to tell you, a lot of people have been saying they've been having problems. God is a problem. He will solve problems. Now, them that want to see, and I'm asking you to see, I'm asking you to see, go to my website, thesseedabrahamlowsite.com. Go to my homepage and you pull up PayPal and you can make that, you can plant that seed. And as you go to a level, and I was telling Brightstar, the divine, the tree of divine healing, let me say it again, the tree of divine healing. Now, if you want to get under that tree, you want to get involved, I'm asking you tonight to plant the seed. Right now, our big computer broke down, so you can listen to us and not falling in and out. But I want to thank those in Detroit, those in Cleveland, those in Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, those in Dallas, Texas, and those in Las Vegas. And I want to thank you a bright star, and bright star with the tree of divine life. Thank bright star for that. So we're going to be working under the tree of divine life. That's in the Bible. And that tree of divine life, I begin to look. That tree of divine life is in Africa. That tree of divine life is where people come and sit and get healed. It brings knowledge of healing, knowledge of Catholic, knowledge of all mankind. And I was talking to some people, and they said, Bishop, these things are happening. I want you to get ready tonight for a breakthrough. Psalm 7 and Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want, the 23rd now. But I want to tell you tonight, a divine healing is a breakthrough, and it's a key to your healing. It's a key to whatever you want from God. We're praying, and I'm going to pray, for all the men and women died in the Civil War, those that died in Iwo Jima, those died in Vietnam and Korea and Afghanistan, and all these world wars, I want to pray. They didn't make it home physically, I say, but spiritual, they made it home. I want to thank you for coming in our divine healing night tonight, and I want to say this to you tonight as we thank you for whatever donation you give, whatever to keep us on the air, and if it's in your heart to give, I don't want you to give wild. I just want you to, Bishop, this is my seed. If you got a need, I decree tonight, if you plant a seed to that need, I want to tell you that you're going to get it done. Somebody said, Bishop, I need a new job seed. I need a healing seed. I don't care what the doctor said. I'm dealing with Dr. Almighty God, God of the wind, the God of the universe. And when you deal with God, God can bring the truth out of a situation. Now, you say, well, I got faith. I'm glad that you got faith because I got a bucket of truth. And that bucket of truth tell me what God got for me. That bucket of truth tell you what we went through. We done come a long ways, black man, black woman. We as a human being, as humans, have come a long ways. In the midst of demonic spirits, in the midst of people killing and murdering, when you go back and look, and I'm just not talking about yesterday, but right now, we got people that are sick. They fought in Vietnam and Korea. Haven't seen the doctor or dentist. Crossed up and messed up. But I want to tell you tonight, every veteran, and I'm going to take time out and let you know, we have automatically passed the storm and passed her by. The storm had passed us by. Psalms 119. And I want you to know, when you read Matthew 6 and 30, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God. So you need to repent. You need to pray. It might not look like, but God gonna solve the problem. I want to tell you, that call from Dallas, those that call from Houston, all is well. Mother Francis down in Algiers in New Orleans, all is well. Brother Dale, Reverend Dale in Detroit, this business to get it together, some work for you to do. You might be thinking about your business. And I want to tell you, if you're thinking about your business, you need to say, Bishop, I'm going to plant this seed for my business. And I promise you, God will meet you, shake down, press together, running over, and God will give to you what you want. Well, you got some minister saying, I don't know what to do. You got to get out of self and let God heal your body. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. I'm calling tonight on the Almighty God to break yokes. And I want to tell you, I'm praying for those that lost a loved one. There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. You lost a son. You lost a mother, a brother, a sister. You lost a child. You lost your baby. But I want you to hold your head up. Because it's a friend, not that simple. Evil doers will soon be cut down. That was Psalm saying. In all thy ways, acknowledge God, he will direct your path. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son and daughter. Because don't forget the women. Don't forget the queens. Don't forget the kings and the queens. All is well. I'm looking for a great breakthrough in 2023. And somebody will receive their healing tonight. And I come to motivate you. I come tonight to stimulate you. I'm going to tell you, as I speak the word of healing, the angel Raphael, the healing angel from God, going to meet you. And whatever it is, cataracts, tumors, high blood, low blood, sugar, whatever it is, I decree tonight your healing. The storm is over. Now, the Detroit Mass Choir song saying the storm is over. And I want to tell you tonight, on this Saturday night, getting ready to go into the holiday, is a lot of people physically ain't with us. I say. But I want to, I say all those people that stood for righteousness and truth and justice, I say. And I want to the east, west, north, or south. I want to say those that are coming on, and I invoke the ancestors to come and touch you in your house, in your home, wherever you might be. Psalms 27, and Mary read that a lot. But I want to tell you, Jerry, William, I'm praying for you tonight. And I'm praying for everybody. You, your mother ain't with you. Your son ain't with you. Somebody have crossed over, and they become an ancestor. I say. But I feel the spirit of those that was murdered and slain, as we call them back, I say, for them to work to help you in your education, in your business, and whatever you need, they are available for you. Tonight is a night of breakthrough. We're getting ready to go into a new year. We're getting ready to go into a new month. I want you to be ready, body, mind, soul, and spirit. I want you to be ready spiritually, where you can be able to help your brother, your sister, your mother. I don't want you to never take down. I want you to stand tall. Psalms 91, the Spirit just gave me that. I want to tell you, Celeste, I'm picking up Celeste in the Spirit, going to be all right. Joanne, I'm picking you up in the Spirit, going to be all right. Louise, I'm going to tell you all is well. Sometimes this address is 7900, and this address is in Texas. Things going to be all right. 1235 on 59th Street, that needs to be turned to a center to help people in that area. That's Inglewood, I say. I'm just seeing doors being opening right now. I want to tell you tonight, you've been going through. You got a drug addiction, and you've been keeping it secret. You got an alcohol problem. You've been keeping it secret. But it's all out in the open now. If God showed it to me, that means that you can be healed. If God showed it to me that you ain't got no food, nowhere to sleep, you're homeless. God says he's going to meet your needs where you at. I say. So I know that every door closed will be opened up. And I know tonight as we pray, east, west, north, and south, and we go four ways, we are say our ancestors. Those that brought music to us, Those that brought medicine to us, Those that brought construction to us, That those that brought knowledge, I say. Those that created business, I say. Those that sung songs and beat drums, I say. All the ancestors that went all with guns in their hand to fight for this country can be saved. I say them. It's trillions of soldiers, black, white, and brown, that put their lives on the line. I say all the soldiers, wherever they might be, those that put their lives and lost their lives, but they found God. They lost their life. They become ancestors. And they've been speaking out about where we're going. Be 2 foot to the left, 2 foot to the right. You have to get with God tonight. And as you get with God, Mary, things will break. I want to tell you, Kenneth, God will open up things for you. I feel some kind of way, Bertha, that God going to do something for you. And I want to tell you, Louise, every door that closed will be open. I want to tell you tonight, I say, Reverend Sam, I say, Reverend Ione. And I want to say something to let you know, all is well. I want to take this time to let you know that I'll pray for you. And I want to let you know that we're going up, not down. We got to move the color line, this racial thing. Dr. King said, in the 21st century, our problem going to be a race problem. You know, and that's what's happening. The race problem, the homosexual problem, the problem of alcohol and pills, the problem that men do not love, and we have begun to love each other and love our women, and all those political prisoners. Now, they've been there, and I'm praying that the doors open up for Larry Hoover. I pray that the doors open up for Jeff Ford, which is Minister Malik, and I pray that every door closed for any of your loved ones, that God will retrieve them back and put them back in society. If the healing got to take place in the mind, then the healing got to take place in the body. You got to know that when you diligently seek God, God will heal your body. Now, some of you said, Bishop, I stop questioning God and know that you are the will of God, the God of the wind, the God of storm, God of flood, God of the whole universe. I'm going to give a little prophecy tonight. I see floods coming back to back to Mississippi and Texas. And I see down in Florida, hurricanes coming back to back. After they get rid of one of them coming, I see about seven coming before man wake up, before woman wake up. And before we take this race thing and turn it around and let's love, let's have the fire of love. Let's have the fire of joy. Let's have the fire of peace. God said Ezekiel. Ezekiel was an anointed preacher. And God come to Ezekiel in the heat of the days of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was sitting in a graveyard, and it become a museum. Because when you die so long, you know, it's dust. And God asked Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, God, you know. And God told him to prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the air. Sometimes you got to speak because you got dry bones around you with your children, your family. Abaddon, the death angel, is murder. Murder is among us because of the evil deeds. And we got to repent, not to Washington, D.C. We have to repent to God and say, God, clear me up. Sometimes you guys read for your ancestors that didn't know that the truth will set you free tonight. And I want to give you the truth. I want to say to you and you and you, every lover, tomorrow we're on from 11 to 12. And the holiday will be on from 9 to 10 and from 10 to 11. Tonight, I just want to share a healing for you. Somebody having a problem with their eyes, a dry. Somebody having a chest pain. I'm calling the angel. Somebody been having a problem with their knees, rheumatism, around their knees and their ankle. Somebody can't sleep at night. And the reason you can't sleep, you got to tell everything to God in prayer. And the weather is still cold, hot, cold. But I want to say to you, God is in control. To man and woman, repent. And repent means, Lord, forgive me if I did anything wrong. Let me be a new man. Let me be a new woman. I'm asking you tonight, take all that jealousy out of your mind. All them tricks, take them out of your mind. And say, Bishop told me to serve God. And read Psalms 100 and Psalms 123. I want somebody been suffering with asthma and somebody been caught a cold. We're praying for the Pope. They say he got a cold. Whatever, we're praying for him. When you got the power to pray, please do it. When God gave you that gift to prophesy, you need to do it. When God gave you that gift to be able to share with somebody else, you should do it. And I want to tell you, Ashe, Mama Annie Bacon, Ashe, Will Coleman, Ashe. I'm just ushering people that come in my group. Reverend J.L. Thompson, Ashe. Reverend Stevenson, Ashe. Those that come in the vibration tonight. Ashe. And some of the people in the spirit world, they are present as I speak. In all thy ways, acknowledge God, he will direct your path, Robert Johnson. And I want to let you know, Reverend J. Bishop J.R. Thompson, wonderful, wonderful. So things is wonderful when you let go and let God. And I want to tell you, I want to say this to you. The storm is over. Lift them hands and shout. And he allowed us one more time to come together on this Saturday night. The 27th. Let me get, this is 2022, 27th day, and it's Saturday. Saturday night, Sunday morning. Saturday night, but Sunday morning, I'm serving the Creator. I'm telling you, all is well. I want you to pray with me that they ban the assault weapons, and so many people are demonic in the White House. They lied and got in there. They're not doing nothing for the people. I heard the word, so by and by, I'm going to hear it now. God getting ready to take over. God is getting ready to speak against the evil and murder and all this hurt that's going on. The mothers lost the son, lost the daughter, lost a family member, and you're struggling with it. There's no sign up to heaven. Can I hear? Let go and let God. There's a lot of the young folks' mind is messed up. You're going to see more young folks in 2023 miss suicide. They're going to shoot people and kill themselves. That's a demonic move and a demonic spirit. I share. But I want to tell you that every letter, every telephone that God give you is a blessing. I want to say this to you again. I come to motivate you, to stimulate you. I come to tell you that God got your back. Set back for a comeback. And you got to know you've been set back, pushed back, lied on, killed, but you're back. The answer is a set back for a comeback. And I want to tell you this evening is a comeback of joy. It's a comeback of love. It's a comeback of family getting together. That God going to destroy that witchcraft, that warlock, that devil, that evil, that white magic. He's going to destroy it. And he's going to bring a new being in, a new man, a new woman. Bring families together, those that are hungry, those that ain't got no food. God have brought you together tonight. I just want you to get ready. Psalms 119, put that down. Saint Matthew 6:33, Psalms 27, Psalm 23. Mary, give me a call. Thank you, kind spirit. Pearl, give me a call. I'm praying for you, Deborah Ann. I'm praying for you, Lisa. Joe, I'm praying for you. Pastor Blue, I'm praying for you. Sister Tanya Scott, I'm praying for you. Mary Scott, I'm praying for you. Bright Star, I'm praying for you. Sam Harris, I'm praying. There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal, Sam. I know you're going through something with your family, but all is well. Mildred Harris, I'm praying for you. I don't want you to give up on Freddie. And we will pray, and Freddie will get in divine order. George Floyd committee in Minnesota, I'm praying for them that stood on George Floyd Square. Sister Liza, the gatekeeper of George Floyd to keep him alive, I'm praying for you tonight. Every lover, every telephone, I just feel some kind of way tonight that God can heal somebody. I see somebody that couldn't hear, bam, you can hear. Somebody, their eyes been dry. After the show, you wash your face, that dryness will go away. And I see somebody, they got gallstones from a prey, and the stones going to move automatically. And got to have surgery. Somebody been hurting. The doctor say you got too much of weight. That's why your bone rubbing against bone. I'm going to pray that God move that. I want to tell you, every soldier, Vietnam, Korea, I can hear them crying out saying, I want to be in the physical. But I want you to honor your ancestor, Ashe. Honor your family members. Honor those that paid the price of death to keep us freedom, to keep us free, to keep us straight. So the divine, the tree of divine healing come from God. Ashe. So I want you to get ready for God to do something special for you at this 9 o'clock hour. And this is Saturday. I want you to get ready for God to do something special. And if God do something special for you, you got to share it with somebody else. Some of you don't want to do it, but you got to share what God give you with somebody else. And you need to tell somebody God is able. This is Detroit Mass Choir. Detroit, stop the killing, save the babies. Chicago, stop the killing. It's more killing in Chicago, Mississippi, Arkansas, Cleveland, Minnesota, New York. And where they fighting at? We're praying tonight for the war to end. And I have to say, like Dr. King, we need to lay the bombs down. We got sick people running the government. Bombs, tanks, and shooting. Trillions of dollars been proven a claim. Trillions of dollars, American dollars, is moved over to Israel. How many dollars going to Africa or Kenya or to Jamaica? Until this country gets fair, it'll open up some doors. I'm praying tonight for those that lost loved ones, those that are hurting. Father God, we come tonight to God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. God, we ask you to touch every mother, every father, those that lost loved ones in the service, lost their husband, lost their wife, lost their children, and their minds are messed up. Devil, lose your hope. That lunatic spirit, I curse it and come out. That I'm praying for somebody's knees and ankles right now. I'm praying for you, Sister Ruth, you come in my spirit. I'm praying for you. Brother Maurice in Birmingham, I'm praying for you. I'm just seeing God doing something special for some of you tonight. I shall say, the kids that graduated, God bless them. Those that are going to proms, I want them to go safe. And I want this country to wake up and say, stop the killing. Say, I want Washington to stand up and say, look, we got to ban these assault weapons. We got to ban when 16 and 12 and 6-year-old kids got guns. Parents, wake up. Parents, where is your kids tonight? Where is your family? And we're trying to put your family back together. I want to tell you tonight, the storm is over. Some of you think you're going, let me say it again. The storm of hurt, of jealous is over. The storm is over tonight. Get ready for God to bless you, Sylvia. Diane, get ready for God to bless you. Deborah Ann, get ready for God to bless you. Every letter, every telephone call, God is going to do something. I want you to hurry up. Somebody right now, some bishop, what I need to do, you need to plant a seed for your need. The widow woman planted a seed, and a harvest came. Abraham planted a seed, and the angel came to see about him. Go to my website, thuseedabrahamwebsite.com. But I want you to do quicker than that. Go to Cash App and go to Bishop T3T's and make your seed. So this is, and when you write, say, this is my seed. I don't know what you want, but God knows what you want. And I want to say tonight, the storm is over.
Oh,
the storm is passing over. The storm of great jealousy is passing over. Claim victory. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. I say. Mother, I know about you, the storm is passing over.
Because he first
salvation. Whatever you need tonight, God love you. And I want you, whatever you're doing, to take time out and say a word of prayer for your ancestors, for your children, your family. May not be in the house with you, but you need to pray. Prayer changes things. I want to say to you, God is able to breathe on that problem. And I'm telling God tonight to heal that sin-sick mind, that distorted spirit. I'm asking God to heal, because it says the wages of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life. I'm asking God to breathe on you tonight. Ashe, ashe.
And I see this all the time. I'm on my way to heaven. Enjoying the truth.
Well, the Lord
is written in
God. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Make that, plant that seed.
I wonder.
God, we're quick, fast, and hurry. Revelation 21, Mary, for you. Isaiah 7 for you, Pearl.
Have you ever?
Henrietta,
found the
need for you, 21 number 7.
When you were burdened,
Sharon, up in St. Paul, I've been
there.
Mary, a friend of mine in Russell, Louisiana. Mama Bill and Homer, I'm praying for you tonight. Brother David Murray, I'm praying for you ever need your Catholic Church and Homer. There's no sorrow. Have a good night either. Those in Bramble, I'm praying for
you.
Those in Mississippi State, Chicago State.
I know there's one trend of thought that God will see and God don't talk back. But I know that's not right. I talked to him this morning. And sometimes you have to be still and know. Hello, anybody here feel like talking back to me? Sometimes mama's there, father's there, whoever, wife is there, children around, but you can't talk to them because they don't understand the situation. You can't talk to friends because they need well, but they just have a gossiping nature. Before you can hang up, your good friend called you. Then your good friend called your other friend. But it gets back to you, your crush. Sometimes you just have to deal with God in the stillness of your life. We sing a song here in the temple that says, any way you bless me, Lord. And sometimes you just have to ask God, Lord, let it breathe on me. I'll be all right if you get the breath of the Lord.
Try this ancient Mediterranean ritual tonight to electrify your metabolism.
Let's breathe on you.
While sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Researchers at Stanford recently confirmed that weight gain...
We just breathe. I'm like the writer that says, you don't have to make no special trip to bless people. But while you're next door blessing my neighbor, do not pass me by. It's kind of old fashioned. But this was my choice. All the writers had a song. I reach way back in. Way back. Young folk won't know it, but some of the older people might remember the word. It just simply says,
you tonight. Let God do it. this world to you this holiday. Stay safe. Those who lost loved ones this morning, last month, are sitting on the night station. Those who are seated in the city of Washington. Don't feel on the earth. And sing in all holy nations. I say it to you. Those that were big, you on the way up and see you too. I'm bringing the God bring the missing person and bring it to where we can see them. He's going to do that. Bring a missing person. Father God, those that lost loved ones, those that didn't make it back from Vietnam, their spirit is walking in the streets of Chicago, of New York, Minnesota, Alabama, Georgia, Pittsburgh, Florida, Cleveland, I am open to a refuge to hear you tonight at the temple of the breakthrough. I'm asking God to just breathe on you in a certain way. I'm asking God to, in a certain way, to do something special. You know, went through a lot. The cancer gone, the breast cancer gone, the tumor gone, swinging left you, but God is still with you. Stop crying.
It'll wake you up. You turn to one side of the bed and you just whisper, Jesus. And while you whisper, Jesus, you feel the Spirit of the Lord move from the foot of your bed. And it comes up the side of the bed and up the way you are. The tears start flowing.
Healing.
The door starts ringing and a little voice whispers and says, it's going to be all
right. Be all right tonight. Then they'll bring you healing.
It's not the little voice healing. It's the free.
Bright star for you tonight. Yes, sir. My friends and me. The wonder, my friends and me. I want to hear you. No rain all year well. Be all year well. Jessica all year well. Swimming up. Look, Mary, I'm praying for you tonight. It's something about
did you know that
God,
most
it's
of
something
the
about God
doing
something special for
you.
I'm praying for God to do quick, fast, and in a hurry. And God's going to do it quick, fast, and in a hurry. I want God to move quick. So God will keep you. That just comes to my heart. Those that are going out tomorrow, I want you to be safe. Those that are watching them, God is able to change minds. And God is able to keep the faith in the joint. We need God to not protect you.
Amen.
This is 1 to the 10 o'clock hour, 1 to the 11 o'clock hour. You want to take us with you? It is Sunday. Sunday morning with the bishop. Call me, girl.
Thank you. delicious berry to fix diabetes while you sleep, and never need meds or a glucometer ever again. If you or a loved one is suffering from type 2 diabetes,
somebody's holy name. Bless his name. Yeah, I got it on my mind still. For all of the good things he's done, somebody called him back. Blessed Savior. Originally
to explain the problem of evil, to explain the problem of sin, or at least to consider it, or the problem of sin and the problem of evil have not been fully explained throughout life. Life is still full of unanswered questions. Why do the just meet with misfortune? Why do evil fall upon the righteous and the good? Why do little children die before they have tasted life rich? These, along with many other questions, are perplexing and have been perplexing throughout time. And it will take only God to give us the satisfactory ultimate answer. No wonder the Christians, in anticipation and in contemplation of this, 10 years ago, we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God shall have gathered home, we'll understand it better by and by. There are a lot of things that we'll have to wait until that ultimate day to understand. But consider this Job story, for example. The story starts and opens this beautiful, this dramatic story, opened with the Son of God before God to worship and to pay adoration to God. But among them was Satan himself. And thank God that even though Satan may be among the just, his presence never go unobserved by God. But there's another thing about this. It seems that there is no society of people where Satan is completely absent. We like to say that Satan goes to the choir rehearsal sometimes. Satan meets with the deacons and trustees sometimes. Satan meets in the usher board meeting. Satan meets all of the gatherings, even of the righteous and of the godly. But God always observes his presence. Hence the question, from whence comest thou, Satan? And Satan said, well, just from to and fro, up and down through the earth. Satan did not suggest that he had been visiting any particular community, but he had visited with satanic influence and satanic effect on all of the communities. There are those who would like to make us feel that Satan is just in just certain communities. Some folks want to make us think that Satan is only in Paradise Valley, or that Satan is only on Hastings Street. But we have found that Satan is in any community. Satan is on all of the boulevards. Satan is in all the fashionable communities. Wherever men live, Satan is there. Wherever men reside, they have to guard against and watch out for evil influence. But Satan is there. Listen, if you please. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, in effect, yes, I know Job. just as I know all of the rest of the folk. I know you.
All right. Amen.
Have you considered that he said the Lord, that he feared God and shunned evil? Satan implies that the only reason why that Job feared God and shunned evil was that God was bribing Job. For Satan said, you have a head of blessing around you. You have surrounded him with security. And anybody would fear you and serve you if you did that much for. That was the implication of Satan. But the Lord knew that Satan was the father of lies. And that Satan was conniving to discredit the godliness and the righteousness of Job by saying that he was only good because he thought that the good fortunes of life that had been extended to him came from God. And had it not been for all of God's blessings, Job would not be what he was. So the Lord said, well, now if you feel that way, why, Job? Go and visit with him. In fact, I will move every head from around and give you the opportunity to test me. I have only one restriction. Don't bother his soul. For you see, sin cannot violate the soul because the soul is a little part of God. So Satan went out from the presence of God to test and try Job. First of all, he floated Job and caused souls and power to break out from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And in misery and in torment, Job reveled with pain and agony. But Job held on to his faith and to his confidence in God. I don't believe you all know what I'm talking about tonight. He was shaken by this attack, but he was not shaken aloof from God. When Satan returned, the Lord said, well, now, what is your answer now? What is your position now? How about Job now? But you see, there are people who are like Satan in that they do not wish to give anybody credit, no matter how good they are. They will always find some excuse to discredit the good that you do. Thus, Satan said, well, I don't know, he didn't crumble beneath the impact that was launched against him economically, or rather physically. But a man loves himself. Let me try him economically. Let me attack him from the standpoint of his possession. Satan went out and caused all of his traps to be destroyed. Had someone's running back to Job. And Job, the Chaldeans sat down upon your camp and destroyed all of them and destroyed the servants that were keeping it. Job, all of your sheep have been destroyed. And before that was finished, another one was said, Job, all of your camels are dead. All of your oxen are dead. A series of rulers and messengers of misfortune. Before he could get a doctor to run, a ruler would run in with no bad news. Job shaved his head and rented his clothes and declared, I brought nothing into this world. and all the truth, I shall carry nothing away. There's no need of me stretching. There's no need of me losing my equilibrium. There's no need of me forsaking God because of these things. For after all, those things did not originate from me. The Lord gave. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody thought about that trouble like that, thought about what they had lost from this standpoint? Some people lose what they have. Some people run into extreme bad luck and crack up. Some even commit suicide. Some quit the church. Some take all kinds of radical positions. But your position is the only position to take. He said the Lord gave. And the Lord has taken away. I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to denounce God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wish I had somebody here to pray with you. And when Job did not crumble under either the physical attack or the economic attack, then Satan decided to attack him from the standpoint of the love for his children. While all of his seven sons and one daughter were feasting at the elder brother's house, while they were dining and wining and having a wonderful time, Satan wrapped himself in a hurricane and struck one corner of the house and caused it to kill on all of your children and kill all of them at one time. And when Job knew anything, a runner was running to him saying, Job, all of your children are dead. It's bad enough for one of them to die, you know. But it must be trying for all of them to be swept away at one time. When Job did not fall under this attack, then Satan launched a conjugal attack or a conjugal attack upon Job. That is, he's talking from the standpoint of his wife. You know, Satan brought down Adam through his wife. Satan brought down Samson through a woman. And Satan has brought down many people, many of power and position through this same way. So he struck at Job through his wife. Job had lost his health. Job had lost all of his money, had become bankrupt. All of his children were dead. Possibly his wife had grown weary with handling it. And there was a current thinking that the real man met with misfortune, his God had turned against him. And hence it was only necessary. The only sensible thing to do is for the man whom God had to forsake, but to denounce his God. So Job's wife said to him, in so many words, Job, your God has left you. You couldn't have gone through all of this if you hadn't turned your back on. So why don't you curse your God and die? I heard Job say, you speak as one of the foolish ones. He implies there that there are many more. She spoke as one of them. You understand me? I'm not going to curse God. I'm going to bless God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I don't understand why all of this is going on. I don't know why I'm going through all of this, but though he slay me, though he destroy me, yet will I trust him. I wish somebody would pray for you tonight. Then finally, my brothers and sisters, Satan decided a final attack on Job. And that was from the standpoint of his friends. That was Bildad and Elihu and Eliphaz, friends of Job from the east, who came riding to see Job. When they saw Job with a sword and open wound, and with those swords running, and with Job sitting out on the ground trying to mash ashes in them to stop the pursuit, when they saw him poor and powerless, when they heard that all of his children were dead, when they heard that Job had met with the grossest kind of misfortune, they sat with him 7 days and seven nights without saying a single word to Job. And after 7 days and seven nights, when they did decide to speak, they uttered a cumulative word. They said, Job, you've been going around with a reputation of being a righteous man. And Job, you've been going around fooling people, making people think that you were a perfect man. But Job, evidently, you haven't been all that you've been cocked up to be. And you haven't been all that you've been trying to make people believe you are. But Job, if you had been a righteous and a godly man, this would have never happened to you. You know, there are people still around. Ben Cunningham, who still believe that if you have bad luck, it's caused by something that you've done. Some folks think if you've lost your health, great God, the Lord is with you. If your house get burned down and all your clothes get burned up, they think the Lord is after you. Oh, Lord. But that isn't necessarily true. Oh, Lord. Good people very often meet with misfortune. Good people very often have bad luck. Oh, Lord. But Job was a man that the Lord bragged on. Job is the only man that God bragged about. And he had the greatest misfortune. I don't believe your friends would have. Oh, yeah. And when Job's friend talked about him, when Job's friend accused him, Job decided within himself, and I heard him say, I'm going to all my kids before the Lord's friend. Oh, Lord. Satan has tried there. I didn't get a death verdict. Oh, yes. My wife has tried there. She didn't give me a death verdict. Oh, no. The friends, they tried there. And I didn't get death verdict before them. Oh, Lord. I'm going to all my kids before the Almighty. I believe a righteous judge will give me justice. Oh, Lord. And now, Lord, I didn't understand the things that I'm going through all of this. Great God, I'm looking for you, but I want you to hold court with me. Oh, Lord, I know I haven't done any wrong. Oh, Lord, I know I haven't mistreated anybody. I know I've not only put offerings on the altar for myself, but even I put offerings on the altar for all of the children. I don't know why I'm going through all of this, but I want you to hold court with me. I've been looking for you on your judgment seat. I've gone back on the path, and I can't find you. I've gone to the right, and to the left. And I can't locate you. Praise God. But I'm going to go in the way of righteousness, believing that I'll burn your feet one of these days. Believing somewhere and somehow I've got a hearing before you. Oh, God. I don't know. I'm a children of David. Oh, no. I don't know why I lost my health. Oh, Lord. I don't know why I've lost all my property. Oh, God. I don't know why my wife turned her back on me. Oh, Lord. I don't know why my friends went against me and hold me in condemnation. Oh, Lord. But there is one thing that I do know. I know. Yeah. I know the Redeemer lives. I know he lives. I'm not able to find him yet. I'm not able to get a hearing to find him yet. But I know he lives. I know. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah. I know. Maybe you don't know what I mean tonight. I don't know. I don't know why some arrive in my life sometimes. I don't know why some ride. I don't know why I'm trying and why I must go through trouble. But there is one thing that I do know. God, yes, I know it. God, my Redeemer lives. If he stand at that ladder there, I'm going to live today. Is there anybody in here that knows he lives today? I know he lives. The reason I know he lives. I feel it burning in my heart. Don't know a lot of things. Do you know he lives tonight? Do you know he lives tonight? Listen to me. No matter what happens to you, no matter what you go through, no matter how you try, oh, anyhow. Stand the test like Job did. Whether you understand the troubles or not, hold on to God for the saving hand.
For the visionaries, for the trailblazers, for the last to lead and the first to make ahead. There's Granger. Supplies and solutions for every industry. 24/7 support. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We call your attention to a passage in the book of Daniel, 3rd chapter, the 17th verse. It be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. The 18th verse reads, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. A resolution to stand. A resolution to stand. I have quoted the Bible in the book of Daniel, which is an answer on the part of three young Hebrew men who were former citizens of Judea. But Judea had been overrun by Babylon, and these, along with many others, of the Hebrews had been taken to Babylon as prisoners of war. It seems that these young men and most of the Hebrews who were taken to Babylon had found adjustment in an otherwise unpleasant situation. Adjustment, you say? Why? Well, Babylon presented to the Hebrew mind and way of seeing things quite a challenge. Because Babylon was paganistic. The Babylonians were worshippers of idols. They participated in the practice of idolatry. The Hebrews gave the world the one God idea, the spirit God idea. People who have enunciated such thinking must have found it uncomfortable and unpleasant in a paganistic environment. And yet they found adjustment, as a Christian should find adjustment in this world. To be in it, but not us. You see. Now, they did not isolate themselves, however. They participated in the general welfare of the community. And these young men, in particular, participated in the political government of the city of Babylon. Unfortunately, there has been derogatory thinking on the part of many Christians that Christians should divorce themselves from political interests. And that has been completely unfortunate, because that kind of thinking renders some people disinterested in registering as citizens. So that over half of the population sometimes are not registered citizens in the community. That kind of thinking makes us indifferent to the people who control the police department. Make us indifferent as to those who make up the town administration. And the church should be concerned about who covers me. The church should be concerned about who regulate and who formulate plans for taxes and who sees after the streets and who see after the lights and who see after jobs and who see after pensions and who see after charity. The church ought to be concerned about that. Pray with me if you please. Who's over the welfare department? Church ought to be concerned about the kind of men who hold these essential and important jobs. It is wrong and ridiculous for church people to say you ought not to be concerned about politics. You don't necessarily have to be a politician, but you ought to be concerned about politics. Well, as I said some time ago, there's nothing wrong with politics. But politics is merely the science of government. Now, there may be something wrong with a politician. You see what I mean? But there is nothing wrong with politics. And the church ought to be concerned about it. You ought to be concerned about the folk who's running your city. And who watch over you at night when you're sleeping. Who's going to give you jobs and whatnot. You ought to be concerned about that. God has never intended for you to have so much religion that you don't be concerned yourself about that.
Just had to spend a few minutes on that. These young Babylonians were concerned in Babylon. Not only were they concerned, but they participated. They rose to influential positions in the Babylonian community. And their rights were so scarce, instigated, of course, because of their dedication to whatever they were doing, that the native Babylonians became envious. These young men weren't playing. They were dedicated servants of God, number one. And number two, the position that they held in the city government, they were dedicated to that, to do a good, a just, and a righteous job. But that the favor that they inspired toward them created envy in Jonathan. And those native Babylonians conspired to get rid of them. So they said, well, now, we've studied the background of these Hebrew folk. We know something about their theology. We know something about their religious culture. We know that they do not participate in idolatry and in the dedication and worship of other gods. Somewhere in their archives or somewhere in their sacred writings, they have something which says, thou shalt have no other God before me. I believe that if we can legislate and get included in the law that govern the dedicatorial service, the dedication of a God out in the plains of the rock, a few days to come, if we can get something put in there, where every citizen must bow his knee, I believe we'll have these Hebrews. I believe we'll have. If we make it compulsory upon every citizen, certainly every officer of the city will have to do it. And if they do it, we will have made them compromise their faith. And if they don't do it, we will have them, because the law is, if you don't, you'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. I wish I had somebody here praying with me tonight. And so, the Hebrews didn't go into arguments and into protests and all this kind of thing. They had resolved what their stand was. They were sure of what their position would be. They went on. They didn't play stick. They didn't hypocrite. They went on out there to the dedication. Well, they could have played stick. They could have concocted some excuse. But that too was in principle a compromise. That too would have hid their hand. They went on out there. And when the instruments began to play, when the announcement was made that everybody was to pay their adoration and that tribute to the God that the king was dedicating, when everybody bowed, they didn't bend over a token that they were about to bow. They stood up. They stood up. And I think that this position, this attitude, this disposition that they took should be a challenge to the people of God today. In the face of our modern evil, in the face of modern injustice, in the face of modern unrighteousness, in the face of modern ungodliness, your position ought to be sure and defined. It ought not to be compromised. It ought not to be half-hearted. It ought not to be halfway. If you believe in what is just, if you believe in what is true, Don't finagle. Don't compromise. Don't try to stand on both sides. Take a side. Take a side. Pray with me if you please. These young Hebrews said, we aren't going to compromise. We aren't going to compromise. Well, you can't compromise with evil. You can't compromise with sin. No, no. For sin is like the crossroads and serpents. When he is called, he won't bother. He's too still. He's unable. But then, if you take sin and evil into your bosom, when rolled up, it's the same old serpent. You got to take a stand. Pray with me if you please. So these young men did not compromise. They did not bow in a token way. They stood up. You know the story of how they were accosted and arrested and how they were brought in to the king. The king expressed sympathy for them and said, young men, possibly in so many words, you didn't understand. You are affable young men. You are fine young men. I've admired your work, and I hold what you've done in high esteem. I'd like to go back over the whole thing and give you a chance to clear yourself. These young men said the things that every Christian ought to say when it comes to declaring where you are. They said to the king, we may as well let you know now as later, we are not going to bow. We may as well right now tell you that we are not going to bow. But we believe that God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. We know, great God, we understood what the law was. And it wasn't a matter of misunderstanding. No, no. It wasn't a matter that we didn't know what to do. Yes. We knew what to do, and we knew what we were expected to do. Yes. But we simply didn't bow because we don't believe in bowing. And we may as well be fair and honest with you. If you go back over it again, we are not going to bow. And we believe the God who we serve. And we believe the God of Isaac and of Jacob. We believe the God of Moses and the prophet. You're able to deliver us. Oh, yes. And he who believes, he's got out of it. But if he